What's going on, Lakers Nation? What's going on, Lakers Fast Break family? And welcome in, everybody. Talk about a thriller. Talk about a thriller of a game, man. Just when you thought all hope was lost, just when you thought, man, we're going to get popped the whole game from beginning to finish. Nope. We come back. We take the lead in the freaking overtime, first lead of the game in overtime. And oh man, am I happy about it. We got my dog Stone Hansen in the building. Stone, what's the deal? I know you're on cloud nine right now. I don't know if you like, I'm ecstatic. How do you feel?
Yeah, this is a very fun and, fulfilling win. Lakers put a lot of effort into this. As you can see, I think they're going to win the championship now. I do think that they really wanted this. They wanted to prove to themselves that they have the ability to close out games with or without LeBron, and they succeeded in doing that. So it was a fun game. It didn't start off fun, but it ended very fun. And I think, obviously, the most important thing is we got a win.
Man, indeed, we did get the win. But wow, talk about, there's a lot for us to talk about. I guess first of all, let me say, talk about just like a thriller, right? Like, this is the reason why I tell people, don't ever turn off basketball games anymore nowadays. Like, I'm the type to where my team could be down by a gazillion points. Like, basketball is a game of runs. Don't ever turn the TV off, because wow, you just may turn around and get the dub. I mean, credit to Anthony Davis for having a big game. Credit to D'Angelo Russell for stepping up big in that third quarter. Shout out to everybody up in here live in the chat right now. We got 70 plus people in here right now. Stone, I guess the first thing I want to bring up to you is, how do you feel about no LeBron tonight, but I guess reports of LeBron possibly playing in tomorrow in Memphis? How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel?
At this point, I kind of thought that we would win without LeBron, because our record's been so good without him. Like, I don't know why, but I don't know what our record is, but I know it's positive at this point. We beat the Bucks already without him. Celtics, Knicks, like, I don't know. Maybe LeBron should just sit the rest of the year. No, I'm just kidding. But the fact that we have him tomorrow, I think, is big too, because obviously the Grizzlies have had the season from hell with the amount of injuries they've had and all the off-court issues and all that. But they do at this point now have Jaren Jackson and Desmond Bane back. Like, they're not just going to be that sort of pushover team that they've sort of been throughout the entirety of the season. I think we are going to have to put some effort into winning that game. So having LeBron certainly helps, and maybe it gives an opportunity for AD to rest after playing double overtime. And you saw him having some obvious like knee massages and stuff throughout those last couple periods. So I don't know. I think it's too early to say whether AD sits or plays, especially without, for sure knowing what LeBron's status is going to be. But I think either way, it's good to have LeBron, because it probably takes off some pressure and effort off of AD tomorrow, having to exert any more energy than he did tonight.
Absolutely. And let me welcome in another Lakers Fast Break family member, L. Rob. L. Rob, how you doing?
Hey, John, I'm good. Love your hat, bro.
Man, appreciate it. Just, I honestly couldn't find my Lakers hat today. I don't know where it was. So I only had this hat, and I had a New York Mets hat. And I was like, you know what? I mean, New York Yankees. I was like, you know what? Let me rock Detroit.
All right.
L. Rob, give us your thoughts on the game today. I mean, thriller, double OT game. No LeBron James, but we do end up getting the win. And now I believe we're 6-4 without LeBron. Thoughts on this game? Just thoughts, man, in general.
Was,
what's going on?
It was a classic. That's it was a classic. I was when Milwaukee went on that little run, being in the fourth, I was like, and AD was limping. I was like, wave the white flag, Darvin. You know, let's turn this in. This is not gonna happen. But I guess that's one of the Darvin strengths. He always wants the team to keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting. And it worked out today. They just, I have to tip my cap to Austin Reeves. I thought he was the MVP. You know, it was a lot of play. Everybody, you know, to win that type of game, you have a lot of guys step up. But I thought his effort throughout the beginning of the game, he was fighting on defense. He's checking Dame. He's banging with Chris Middleton. His effort, man, was off, you know, was crazy all game. His energy and effort.
Yep, absolutely. No, absolutely. Austin Reeves was big for us. But, I mean, I guess, you know, L. Rob just told us that Austin Reeves would be his MVP. Stone, if you had to pick an MVP of this game, I mean, we had three different players that had a triple-double, so you have a wide variety of players to choose from. Who would you say is the MVP of this game in your eyes?
I'd agree with L. Rob, but I think it's very close with, for me, AD. I think AD, especially in those later periods, the overtime periods, he kept us afloat with his defense, I thought. He had some very timely blocks that I think really aided in us being able to pull this out. But yeah, I'm going to have to go Reeves, ultimately. I mean, Reeves had some huge shots, made up for that missed three at the end of the first overtime and was able to get a huge one late in the second overtime. I think he played decent defense at times against Lillard. I thought he had some good possessions defensively, which isn't always the case, but I think we have to give credit when it's due. And then he made some decent passes. Obviously, near the end of it, the entire team was making bad, sloppy passes because we were just so fatigued. But I think throughout the majority of the game, Reeves' passing was a big part of our success as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, Reeves came up big tonight. Rui came up big tonight. And then, I mean, Darvin Ham almost screwed us out the game in that fourth quarter by leaving Torian Prince in there and sitting Rui. But we ended up still being able to pull it out. But honestly, if I had to give an MVP of this game, I'd be right there in agreement with you guys. I mean, I think Anthony Davis was huge for us tonight, of course, on the defensive end. And offensive end, he had 34 and 23 rebounds. But I know you guys noticed because, you know, Reggie and they were saying on the broadcast as well that it's like Anthony Davis, you know, granted, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's guarding Giannis on defense. So I'm sure, you know, it gets very tiring. But Anthony Davis in that overtime periods offensively was just kind of non-existent. Like, I felt like he was just more of a decoy to just keep Giannis out of the play. Now, I, you know, when I'm watching the game personally, the way I feel about it as a basketball player, I want the best player on my team with the ball in their hands in late game situations. That's just the way I play basketball. Now, I understand maybe if it's because, like, all right, well, we don't want to bring Giannis into the equation. We don't want to bring Giannis in this pick and roll. So let's just put Anthony Davis in the corner. I guess I can understand that, you know, that mindset. But if you look at the flip side on the Bucks, I mean, it didn't matter. They were running Dame and Giannis pick and rolls, high pick and rolls, because that's just their best two players on the team, and they either want the ball on Dame's hand or in Giannis's hand. That's exactly the only possible outcome that can come from that. While the Lakers, you know, shout out Austin Reeves, who got it done tonight. Shout out D'Angelo Russell, stepped up tonight. Spencer Dinwiddie, I wouldn't say he stepped up, was very often three-point line, but he did hit some timely baskets and sometimes that, you know, came up big for us. But, I mean, realistically, if you think about it, it was really Spencer Dinwiddie, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell in crunch time versus Giannis and Dame, which is crazy to me because it's like, I get it. Maybe AD's tired or whatnot, but hey, my dog, when no LeBron out there, this is what we need you there for. So that's kind of how I feel on that. Man, I'm not gonna lie, guys. I'm happy though, because I was in such a low earlier in the game. I was like, dang, like we were down 4-17, 6-23. I was like, oh, here we go. Lowest first quarter all season long. So crazy to me that we came back and went in and won this game. L. Rob or Stone, let me get your guys' thoughts, I guess, on as far as like Darvin Ham. Do you feel like this was another atrocious Darvin Ham game, or was this one we could live with?
Want me to go, Stone? Well, okay, so I mean, you guys, you know, I always listen to the podcast, so I know John, you, I know you guys are a little more critical of Darvin than I am, so I wouldn't, when you say another atrocious game, I don't think he has a ton. He's only got to play the cards that's dealt to him. I do get frustrated with the usage of Anthony Davis out on the perimeter so much instead of getting him, you know, in the paint a little bit. But that's a lot of that is AD's preference, I believe. You know, AD, you know, in the beginning of the game, Giannis is bullying him. He's going in the paint. And AD is like, I really don't want all this smoke. Let me just, I'll chill out here. Hope my jumper is going. So no, I thought Darvin did a good job. I was worried about not getting Rui back in there. But by the time the fourth quarter came around, AD was on fumes. He really was. He had exerted himself so much that he was on fumes. So I can understand it, but I'm like you. I want to see AD get him at least a touch, especially, you know, they're running up and down the court and Dinwiddie's holding it for 5 seconds outside and they're doing picking, you know, switches with Dinwiddie and D'Lo and Austin, and AD is just sitting in the corner. That's crazy. But I do think some of it was fatigue on AD's part. I did like Torian Prince. TP did not have a good shooting game, but I liked his energy too. I mean, he was attacking the rim. He had a good plus minus when he was in. You know, he was trying to make things happen. So I appreciate his aggressiveness. I think his energy, along with Reeves' energy, kind of kept the Lakers afloat a little bit. Of course, Rui was scoring good early until D'Lo and joined the party in the second half. AD was kind of consistent, but then once D'Lo got cooking in the second half, it was like, okay, we really have a chance now. Now it's a ball game. So yeah, I give Darvin a good grade. For I mean, you won in the double overtime. It's hard to give him a bad grade today of all days. But yeah, I thought he. I would have liked to see, from an energy standpoint, I would have liked to see Christie play just a little bit more to see what he could have brought to the, you know, see if he could have brought a little more energy as well. But that's probably the one thing I would, you know, nitpick on.
Okay. Stone, where you at with that?
Well, to be quite honest, heading into the fourth quarter, we were down by so much that I was like, me and Gerald both were like, you know, just pull the plug, take the starters out. I think it's a wrap. And it's a good thing we're not the head coach, because we wouldn't have had a chance to win this game. Obviously, Ham still believed in the fact that he did and kept the starters in is ultimately what led to this win. So it's hard to be too critical after making that sort of call. I do think there are things to clean up. I think in the first half, you saw that you were able to get Brook Lopez further away from the rim defensively, where you could bring him up because they were using AD to get floaters. He was getting some nice shots from like the free throw area. And because of that, it had to bring Brook Lopez up higher, and he had more backdoor cuts and things of that nature to get easier layups. And we went away from that in the second half for some reason, when I think that could have given us, we wouldn't have had to fight so hard to get back into the game. So there's things like that. I think also that, like, in the second overtime, in my opinion, I would rather have a bench player with fresher legs than your worst starter with, you know, super tired legs playing 40 plus minutes. Like, I probably would have subbed Princeton earlier for Dinwiddie just to, I think it's more effective to have a guy that's a little fresher for that second overtime. Maybe Christie, even someone that just gives you a little more energy. So there's things that I think, it wasn't a perfectly coached game, but the fact that he kept the starters in and got us to the point where we had a shot to win and ultimately did, I think, is commendable. And it's hard to rag too much on something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. I know, like, when I was watching the game, you know, like I mentioned, I'm taking notes and I'm like, dang, like taking out Rui in this fourth quarter could absolutely cost us the game. And I thought that's what's going to happen. But there's a saying that, you know, they talk about in the NBA world, that's winning cures everything. And, you know, winning, you know, cures it. So, you know what, Darvin Ham, in my book, I know L. Rob likes you, but in my book, you get another pass. You get to live another day, Darvin Ham. You get a hall pass for tonight. But what I got to ask, guys, is the biggest question, I think, going on in the game was, did Giannis travel? Do y'all feel like Giannis traveled on that? No? Yes? Or where y'all at with that?
I thought he lifted it, yes, but it's hard to make that type of call. It was a bang bang play. I thought the foul that D'Lo got fouled really going to the rack. That one was the one to me that was like, okay, come on, call
with,
that
with Malik.
Yeah, yeah.
That one. Yeah. I thought the Giannis one. It's hard because I think they only showed one replay, if I'm not mistaken. So it's hard, only one angle, one replay to really get the full picture. To me, it looked clean. It looked like a three-step with, you know, the first step being more of a gather. So I thought it was clean with the Giannis thing not being a travel. But like L. Rob saying, it's kind of hard to tell in that situation because they only gave us one replay too. So it's not super easy to make that judgment based on that.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
could
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell
a copy.
Phone version yeah. that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want to. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree with y'all. And I mean, talking about the D'Angelo Russell layup that came, the possession right before that, I was pissed because, like, that's exactly – like, that's still the fourth quarter. That's not overtime. Like, I understand overtime, Anthony Davis is tired, that knee's hurting. But fourth quarter, like, this is just a regular regulation basketball game, AD. I need you demanding the ball at this point. Like, here, like, we need a bucket. Give me the ball. That was my biggest qualm with Anthony Davis. But, man, guys, I'm on cloud nine, I'll be honest, because I wrote right here on my notes, right? Because I thought we were going to lose. This felt like one of those games where, you know, you dig yourself in such a big hole early in the game and then you just can't simply get yourself out of it. And that's how it felt. I mean, really, until we took that first lead in overtime, we would have these great runs, these 16-2 runs, these 17-7 runs, but we'd still be like, you know, down by five, down by six. And then that never really brought us back into it. So I wrote right here, I was like, man, I feel like we lost this game because we didn't have enough offense. But we also didn't have enough defense. But I mean, second half, we just absolutely turned that up, man, and got us a win. So I'm still, I kind of don't even know what to say, to be honest.
Speaking of close calls, I think AD did get away with fouling Giannis on that lob over the top. What was that, at the end of the first regulation?
Yeah.
He definitely grabbed him and they let that one go. So I guess it kind of balanced out.
Yeah, I think to me more of the foul there was when Giannis was turning around to go to the rim. It looked like AD was holding him a little bit, and that's where they should have called it. But, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Every team is going to get bad calls both ways. And the really, you have to put yourself in a position to be able to overcome that where you have enough of a points buffer to withstand something like that, and that doesn't have to decide the game. So, you know, as much as it sucks one way or another when you have bad calls, really, you don't want to put the game based on that. You want to be able to say, you know, you won without having to have that call.
Okay. And so, you know, we got the classic back-to-back. Tomorrow we got Memphis. So I believe, Stone, you said that Jaren Triple J will be there, correct?
I don't know for sure tomorrow. I've just been saying that him and obviously Desmond have been playing as of lately. I don't know their status for sure headed into tomorrow, though.
Got you. Okay, well, so, you know, if he does play, you know, that's another real big in this league that, you know, AD is going to have to watch out for. So how do you guys feel like tonight? He played 51 minutes and 52 seconds. How do you guys feel about him playing tomorrow? Do you want him to sit out that game tomorrow? How do y'all feel about that? L. Rob looking like he got something to say. Talk to me, L. Rob.
If he sits out, we probably gonna lose. I mean, it's just, I mean, real talk. I mean, I haven't seen enough of this team without AD. Without AD, they just don't look good at all. Not a whole lot of resistance. Usually not a whole lot of fight. I mean, it would be great for him to sit. At some point, you got to pay the piper, though. When you're playing 51 minutes, you played it tomorrow. You got Indiana on Friday. So at some point, it's going to catch up with them. And you know, probably more likely Friday than tomorrow if LeBron can, you know, hold us down, because Indiana will be running and they will want revenge for this past game. So
now
we're going to be really tired, AD especially, for that game.
Let me ask you a question real quick, Rob, because I mean, here's a dilemma, because I absolutely agree with you. If Anthony Davis doesn't play, like, we struggle to have any type of identity, especially on the defensive end. But it's like, we kind of also want to keep Anthony Davis, you know, ready and prime come this, you know, play-in situation that we're going to be to, where it's going to be like a one or two game our season on the line. So I guess, like, what's the strategy? Like, you know, what do you go with here? Would you rather maybe try to punt a game with a team that's already struggling with, like, the Grizzlies in hopes to preserve Anthony Davis? Or would you rather say, look, AD, you're going to have to play through this, dog, because we just can't take no more else?
I'm not for punting game, so.
Okay.
We got a legit chance to move into the seventh or eighth seed. So you've got to get out of playing two games if you can, in that tournament. You got to just try to have one game, win it, and then go into the, you know, who knows if somebody falters. If you keep winning, they got a very manageable schedule. They got a very, you know, slim chance of moving up to six, but I think they got a 50-50 chance, looking at how difficult Phoenix schedule is to finish up. And I do believe we own the tiebreaker with Phoenix. I think they got a decent chance to pass Phoenix and at least get the eighth seed.
Stone, do you agree with L-Rob on that? Hey, we got to go for it, or are you looking for more to preserve Anthony Davis?
I definitely get where L-Rob's coming from, and there's a strong case to be made. I come from it is, preserving AD is part of it. That's the main part of it. The other part of it is, if LeBron's good to go tomorrow, especially, that you now put that pressure on LeBron, saying, hey, you know, now it's your turn to carry this team to a win, and get him in that sort of mindset and mentality where you don't have AD. So now it's your night to really, you know, pull your weight and carry this team to a win. You're not going up against a juggernaut. You're not going up this again. If Desmond Bain and Triple J play, it's not a pushover team either. You're not going up against, you know, someone like the Portland Trailblazers or something. But this is a team that is, I think, even without AD, is winnable. I think if AD were to sit, and then you just make sure that your guys have that mindset that, you know, this is a team you can beat if you play well enough and if you execute well enough. And I think it helps get the rest of the team continue into that mindset, into that play. And so I would prefer AD to sit, only because we also have a packed schedule to sort of round it out these next couple weeks. And if something were to arise with AD, we saw massaging that knee and stuff throughout the first overtime, I'd be, you know, you have no chance of winning those play-ins, in my opinion, of getting to the playoffs, because you're going to have to probably win two. If you don't, if you only have to win one, it's still really difficult to do that without AD. So from my stance, I'm trying to preserve AD as much as I can, and I think that you still can win without AD tomorrow. I don't think it's just throwing the game away if you don't have AD. So that's sort of where I'm coming from.
Okay. And I understand absolutely both of your guys' side. But I guess, like, you know, a question I had as well for you guys is, like,
where are you at on that, John?
I mean, me personally, I say we got to play him. Like, I'm with you, L. Rob. We don't have time to punt games anymore. Like, we already punted so many games early throughout this season, thinking that we wouldn't be in this situation. But now we are. So now we're going to have to deal with the consequences, the face consequences of punting those games earlier in the season. So I'm with you. I'm more with you on that, L. Rob, to where it's like, yo, AD, like, you just turned 30. Like, didn't he just turn 30 or something like that, or 31 or something like that?
He's 31, I believe.
31, right? He's supposed to be in what, like, technical, like, prime of his life. What do they say? It's like from 27 to 30 something, right? So he's supposed to be in his technical prime. And it's like, I understand that basketball is just a little bit more soft nowadays, but it's like, yo, I know so many players, not personally, of course, that played 82 game seasons. It's like, we just need you to finish up here, dog. So I'm gonna need you to fight through whatever you're fighting through and be on the court.
Yeah, if you gotta wrestle, I mean, we got, I think easier games will be New Jersey or Washington, or, you know, probably Toronto even, that's on this road trip. Memphis, if, you know, with Bane back, with Triple J back, and, you know, Memphis will be crazy. You know, they're going to play hard. I think that's going to be a more difficult game than a few of the other on the road trip, if they choose to figure out a way to sit them. But I can understand it, because coming back from 51 minutes, that's going to be
tough.
This will be a lot.
If it was a four-quarter game and that was it, then I would say play him. But I think the fact that it's 51 minutes, I think, is a little more – especially the fact that, I mean, he was sitting out plays here and there with that knee. Like, that, to me, just raises my eyebrow a little bit headed into a possible play-in situation. But I understand, too, wanting to put yourself in the best available position to only have to play one play-in game. So I think both sides make sense. And I would think that I don't expect both AD and LeBron to be out tomorrow is where I think I'm at right now.
And let's welcome in the Podfather, the one and only Gerald Glassford. Gerald, what's up? Nice to have you back. How you doing, dog?
I'm doing great. You know what? It's reverse psychology. All game long, I was answering Laker Knicks polls on playback. No, the Lakers going to win. No, the Lakers are going to go into overtime. No, the Lakers are going to win in double overtime. No, 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 no. It's reverse psychology at its finest, but great win for the Lakers. Eventually, you know, I was there from the beginning, and it was absolutely a terrible beginning to the game. And big shout out to everyone out here. Big shout out to you, John. L. Rob, always great to have you back, my friend. Stone Hansen, who was with me the whole time on playback. Laker Nick, everybody. The comeback wasn't fake. It was real. And all credit to AD and the rest of the Lakers for getting back. You know what? He looked like he was getting used and abused in that first quarter by Giannis. But, man, give him credit. The NBA's Player of the Week, Western Conference Player of the Week, really got the job done that second half, gutted it out, and like Stone says, we'll see what happens for tomorrow.
Absolutely. And you know what, guys? When LeBron sat, when I saw LeBron was going to sit, it got me thinking of, as far as, like, I understand, you know, trying to preserve your body, especially at the age that he's at. But it's like, and you guys tell me, maybe I'm missing something here, so please, you know, keep me honest. What would have been the difference between LeBron just playing this game and sitting out next game? Is there like any difference I'm missing? Because in my mind, not gonna lie, it looks like he's just ducking some smoke to me.
This is what, like, he's done this all season.
Absolutely right.
He misses the hard game, and he plays the easy game.
Absolutely right. And it's crazy to me, because it's like, you're LeBron James. What are you talking about ducking smoke? Like, I understand you're 39 years old, but it's like, yo, in my mind, there makes no difference between you could have played tonight and then not played against Memphis. And then not played against Memphis, because in my mind, it's like, okay, who's the better team? Like, forget all the suspensions that the Grizzlies had. They could be fully healthy. I still would take the Bucks as a better team than Memphis. So it's like, we need you there for the game that's against the better team. So are you guys on par with me for that? Or am I just hating a little bit on my guy? That's my goat though, too. So I don't even want to hate.
Well, no, I think you're right. I mean, like Gerald said, it's all season. If nothing else, the Lakers are consistent. If they're playing a tough team, a playoff team, one of the top teams in the league, and they're playing a bottom feeder, LeBron's playing on the bottom feeder. Let me get my 28 and 8-8 and call it a day.
Great.
Hey, look, I mean, they looked at it probably, and they say, hey, the Lakers could lose to a bad team if LeBron doesn't play, but the chances are they're going to win that game, and chances are they're probably going to lose to, you know, a top level team, even, you know, even even if LeBron plays. So maybe from the percentages. Now, I heard them say something about he gets an extra day of rest before, you know, going to the next game. But I mean, that works both ways. If you play today, then you get an extra day of rest before the Indiana game. So that didn't make sense.
Or remember when he played in the Detroit Pistons game, and that was, I think, he didn't have the he didn't take the extra day off, played the Pistons game, but missed the other game. Yeah,
first, just, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I did want to mention to Stone, because I was hearing you guys on the way back. Brandon Clark, I believe, will be playing in his first game back from Achilles when he tore his Achilles. So that might be an emotional, you know, thing for Memphis as far as that. So watch out for that as far as the lift for them. And then, of course, the Lakers going in there coming off a double overtime. You don't know how much they'll have in the tank. But, you know, at this point in the season, you just got to get it done.
Yeah, I don't think it'll play too much. I mean, it's his first game back after a year plus, so I don't think it'll play too much into court production, it being his first game. Yeah, I mean, as far as the Lakers doing this sort of, you know, LeBron missing against the better teams, the excuse I think they would give, which, you know, how much do we buy it? They said
strategic was his words that he used. Earlier.
Yeah, and the strategy, my guess is of how they would frame it is that he wants to test the mental toughness and the strength of this team, what they can do without him against a better team. That's how I think they would frame it. How much we buy that, I don't know. We've all seen the LeCap montages of him,
the books, you know,
the books, the soccer teams, all that sort of stuff. It's very funny, but yeah, I think that's how they would probably frame it, but. And in terms of like actually why they do it, I don't have a good answer. I think I don't really know. What I do know is that the Lakers now have a very good record without LeBron. I'm not saying they're better without LeBron, because obviously you're not better without your best player or your second best player, but it shows a different dynamic with this team when they play without LeBron. And I think it's something interesting, because heading into the play-in, and if you're lucky enough to get into the playoffs, you're not going to play LeBron 48 minutes. And I think seeing what works and what doesn't with certain lineups when you don't have LeBron is important. And, you know, without, that's the silver lining, I guess, when LeBron isn't playing, is you get to sort of see that and see what lineups can keep you afloat if you were to be sitting. So I think that's sort of the silver lining of all this, but it's not something that we should probably be wanting to see once a week or anything.
LeBron got to play, point blank, period. LeBron got to play, man. LeBron.
He's got to play 65. He's close to that magical 65 mark to get onto the all NBA teams.
Yeah, you know, he's very strategical with that. So he'll make sure he gets to that. I see, want to answer some of the stuff we got here in the chat. Would love to open this up to the panel. What do you guys think of Giannis's game? I know we're the Lakers fast break family over here, but if you guys want to show any love to Giannis or not love or hate, whatever y'all want, how do you guys feel about Giannis's performance tonight?
I'd go with L-Rob. L-Rob?
I thought Giannis was sensational for, the first 46 minutes or so?
Yeah.
In the end, you know, Giannis did not have the best performance, you know, down the stretch or in the overtimes. But he set the tone early. They were more physical. His defense was outstanding. His determination. So I thought he set the tone, and he was the reason why they jumped out to the big league and was in control most of the game. So, I mean, Giannis is great, man. He's a handful. You don't see too many guys, you know, just go at AD like that and bury him under the basket and score. I mean, Sabonis has gotten away with it a little bit, but not nowhere near like, you know, like Giannis did, coming at him full speed. he's tough, man. He's passing the ball good, setting great picks, playing great defense. He, you know, great player. You know, one of my pet peeves, though, is people talk about the Lakers and the foul discrepancy, right? And, you know, Indiana talked about it a lot after the last game. And one thing the Lakers don't do is foul guys. It's like, foul them. It's kind of hard to foul sometimes when you're not playing defense. That's what people don't realize. The Lakers don't play great defense, so they don't be fouling guys. I'm pleading them all game. Please foul Giannis when he gets ahead of steam, and don't just let him dunk. Send him to the line. Make him uncomfortable. Make him do something you don't want to do. And they refuse to. I think he only shot 4 free throws until overtime. And how many times did he catch it going in for easy baskets? Okay, so that's my take on it.
I like that, L. Rob. and just to add to that, L. Rob, you know, I've as a basketball player, I know myself. Like, if I go to the hoop and somebody fouled me real hard, you best believe next time I'm gonna think about that twice, right, before I go to the hoop. So I'm right there with you, L. Rob. But like how you said, I think we get blown by and then we can't even foul, even if we wanted to foul. And then also, just to add to that free throw disparity that people always talk about and complain about, it pissed me off back even when the Warriors did it last year. It's like, do y'all realize that we're going inside and we're bigger than a lot of other teams? So means we're going to get shots off in the paint. And it's really just a war down there. And it's really just hand checking and a whole bunch of fouls, and it's a lot more likely to have a foul in the paint versus if you jacking up three pointers or jacking up middies. So that's another thing to add to that, L. Rob, because it pisses me off how people be like, oh, Lakers had the refs on their side. It's like, no, our playing style actually just kind of forces teams to foul, because when someone's bigger than you in basketball and you can't stop them, your only choice is to foul them, and that's 99% of the league against Anthony Davis. So just wanted to add to that, L. Rob. I'm right there with you. That free throw discrepancy thing, people just need to actually look at the game instead of just looking at numbers.
The only way to really get like a solid reading on whether the free throw discrepancy is real, which I don't really believe it is, but if you do believe that, the only real way to get a measure on that is ultimately, which no one's going to do, but go through every single foul for each team and calculate like what the percentage of calls they're getting right for each team is. If they're making a lot of bad calls for the Lakers to get to the free throw line, what is that relative to the percentage of calls that other teams are getting? It's not necessarily the total number. It's what is the percentage of calls that is accurate. And no one's going to really know, because I mean, I'm not going to sit there and look through every foul for every team, but that's really how you're going to get the correct answer as to whether you think that's legitimate or not. So before you do say there is a free throw discrepancy, look at that first.
I want to mention that just tonight, as far as the rebounding, because that's been a problem for the Lakers all season. They did give up quite a few offensive rebounds, but overall, the number of rebounds, 69, is the most they've had in 30 years.
Wow. Team.
So just want to let everybody know that. Go ahead, John. Sorry.
No, I was just going to just gonna call this out right here. Stone, Robert had said that as to like why, I guess, you know, we're sitting, Brian. But, and I understand, Robert, but still, to me, it's like we just don't have the luxury to do that. We got to play him for it all. But
I understand what he's saying too, where you want to make the percentages as high as possible for one game if it means punting another game, which in this case, obviously, and really throughout the season, it hasn't been punting for whatever reason. We win all our games when LeBron sits. But I think that if you I think, in my opinion, just statistically, it's better to try and go for equal odds on both games than a guaranteed odd on one. And I think it would be different too if I am in a different position. If I'm in a position where right now I'm scrapping in the play-in, to me it makes less sense to do that. But I understand as to not, you're saying not necessarily that that's why you would do it, but maybe that's how the Lakers are viewing it, and I might agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, just want to give a quick shout out to Scarlet and Blue. That's actually sounds really dope. Said I would really, really love it if NBA and its broadcast partners would do a referee cast to explain why calls were valid, etc., as well explain the game. That actually would be super dope. But the only problem with that is then we, you know, there would become precedent would be start being set, because it's like, all right, well, if you call this here, then that means you got to call that there, and then that would, you know, probably make things difficult, but for the refs moving forward. But
there was really a show like that once. I mean, there was a show. Really? They used to do a half an hour show, and man, what's his name? Who's over the head of the officials?
McCutcheon.
No, well, maybe
Garrettson.
Steve Jabby.
Jabby, oh, yeah.
Steve Jabby used to do. He used to be the primary guy on that show. I think it was on NBA TV, but it was like a half an hour, and they'd go through certain plays and say why the call was right and why it was incorrect.
I think that's good. I think it's really cool. It's good to educate your fan base rather than just let them come to their own conclusions based on what they think is the right call. Like, if you explain it to people and educate them as to why something is the way it is, I think that's good for the game. The smarter your fans are, I think the better it is for the game.
Absolutely. I don't know if you guys have seen like the coaches' corners, but they'd be doing that. Like, if you have NBA League Pass, they do this thing called like coaches' corners, which is like kind of cool, where like a coach will like explain the play that they have. So I guess kind of similar to that. And then real quick, just want to show some love to Lakers in Five here in the chat. Says salute. What's going on, Lakers in Five? Happy to have you here, and everybody else has tuned in. Man, guys, Gerald, let me get your thoughts on the game. Gerald, I got L Rob's thoughts, I got Stone's thoughts. Gerald, I know this game was crazy, but what did you pick up from it? What's the biggest takeaway you have?
They haven't looked much worse than they looked in that first few minutes when they were down 17-4. Stone popped in and said, "Hey guys, how we're doing?" I'm like, "We're not doing good at all." It was ugly to start off. I mean, that's about as bad as you could play if you're a Lakers team. And they were down by as many as 19, but to find ways to come back. And part of that is also on the Bucks, because you know, we've said this about the Lakers, where you play with your food. If you play with your food long enough, it's going to get spoiled, or you're going to spill it on the floor. And they did just that, because they played with their food. The Bucks could have easily wiped off the Lakers in the first half and be done with them. They could have easily pulled out to a 25-30 point lead, but they didn't. They got careless, and the Lakers took advantage, and more power to them. But AD in that second half, he deserves a lot of credit. Now, the Lakers, as I told Stone repeatedly in that fourth quarter, had the refs, and I know Louis complaining about how the refs are and the Lakers getting all the calls, you know, tonight, I don't think it holds water, because A, the Bucks shoot a lot of threes. So the Lakers were more aggressive inside, so they deserved more calls. B, the Lakers had not one, but two and ones taken away from them. There was, could as many be 6 points taken away from them that they should have had there, you know, on there with those two and ones taken away. And by doing that, the Lakers could have even, you know, made it easier for them to win in regulation. So again, credit to them and credit to Darvin Ham. I know everybody hates it when we have to give credit to Darvin Ham, but when you're part of this comeback, obviously he was continually playing things around. Didn't like all the guard rotations that he had, but obviously with LeBron out and Jackson Hayes absolutely playing terrible, you know, that he, I mean, despite all that, they found, and Dinwiddie was for like 3.5 quarters, actually 4 quarters. It wasn't until overtime that he scored his first basket that, yeah, he was there were several Lakers who were letting the team down in that first half as well. The guards were not being able to shoot, but they found it. D'Lo, your man, as the president of the D'Angelo Russell fan club, John, you know, he started that drive in the third quarter. He started his usual third quarter coming out of locker room heat check, and that helped the Lakers, made it more sustainable. But it wasn't until the Lakers made that push in the fourth quarter, and all credit to AD, who got used and abused in that first half to really get things going, and man, gutted it through. Another gutty performance where he looks half dead, he's exhausted, he's hurting on his knee, they're rubbing him all over the place as far as on the sidelines. but yet he still found a way, to get it done, man. He still found a way to get it done, and all credit to the team. And Austin Reeves, I know we've been hard on him this season, but you know what? He played some of the best defense he can. He cannot play the athletic guards, John and Stone and L. Rob, very well, but a crafty player like Lillard, who he's like got 2-3 inches on, he can play him pretty well because he plays hard defense. He's just not very athletic and quick. So, you know, if he's playing an older guard like that, he can do a little bit better. We saw that tonight in clutch plays down the road. He manned up, played good defense, and I got to give him a lot of credit as well for getting it done tonight.
Absolutely. I feel like most of defense, I feel like it's just energy. Yes, it absolutely helps if, you know, you're 6'4" and you're springy and you can jump up and down and you can recover, or if you're Giannis, yeah, you got these long arms that make up a whole bunch of space. But yeah, I feel like a lot of defense is just effort, and Austin Reeves gives effort. And also real quick, Scarlet and Blue said, thanks Jill for giving Ham some credit when he does a good job. But just real quick, I wanted to give L Rob some credit too, because L Rob earlier in the stream, he was showing some love to Darvin Ham too. Yep. So that's L Rob and Gerald standing up for Darvin Ham, giving him some love, man.
I wish he wouldn't have played Jackson Hayes so much, because Jackson Hayes was absolutely miserable tonight. He didn't play Cam Reddish too much because he saw Cam Reddish was just not feeling it at all tonight. But he did give credit to where he found a way to have this team continue to perform despite the fact they were so fatigued, because you could tell they were gassed. They were really gassed, especially AD, and they still found a way to get it done.
I had a question for you guys, if I can, John. So AD shoots 8 threes today, made 3. Do you guys want to see him taking threes at all?
No, damn big to be taking threes.
I had this discussion with Z at the beginning of the season when Ham was talking about this new style five out offense, giving AD at least 5 threes a game and all that. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's coming off a season where he shot 18% from three. He's a career 27% three-point shooter. And although it worked tonight, and yes, the egg is on my face, if that's the case, but really, L. Rob, he is statistically a very bad, and up until this point, for the past month and a half, he's been awful shooting the outside from the three. Every shot that you have him shoot out there, a three-pointer, is one that you take away from inside that he's more efficient at. That's all I say. So if you stick him out there for shooting more threes, you lose the efficiency he could give you inside. I'll leave it at that, L. Rob.
I think the way I view it is, you want your best players doing what they're best at, is the way I view it. And so I prefer AD inside. And we saw his touch, like, he has great touch around the rim, which is weird generally, because that typically translates to being a pretty decent shooter from outside. Doesn't happen to be the case with AD for whatever reason. But the way I typically view it is, if Evan Mobley, for example, is a younger player who this season, especially later in the season, has started to take more threes, and he's not good at it. But in the long run, if he is able to get to an average point, it really helps the team out to have someone that can space the floor. But he's doing it at 21, 22. If you're Anthony Davis and you're 31 now, it's a lot more difficult to develop something that's never been a part of your game than it is if you're a decade younger. So if AD were on a team where they could experiment with that, and if he were a lot younger and he was going to, you know, be a long-term part of the team and could do that, then I'd be for it. And, you know, go through the growing pains of that, I'd be willing to do that. But the fact that it's never been a part of his game and he's over 30, I think it's very, very rare that a player adds something to their game that's never been a part of their game to a degree that is helpful to a team, especially a team that's aspirations are contending. So for me, I'm against it, and I'd rather AD just focus on what he's good at, which is dominating in the paint.
That's funny. Eduardo, did you get Eduardo's comment on there, John?
Let me see. What did Eduardo say? He said, if you're feeling it, stroke it, that thing, AD.
Yeah, he should shoot with Westbrook's confidence.
Just
he did shoot in the championship season. He shot it pretty decent in the playoffs that year.
He did. He even hit that one.
Just took a peek. He shot 38% from three in the playoffs in 2020. So
the more players on your floor that can space is the better. I mean, that ultimately is what helps your team. The NBA has become the space. The ultimate attribute of basketball is you want to create as much space as you can and take away as much space as you can on the other end. Like, space has become the quintessential centerpiece of what basketball is. And the more guys you have that can space the floor, the more opportunity there is to score. But when you can't space the floor at an efficient enough level, you're doing it for naught, because the defense isn't going to really respect you to the degree needed to create that space, if that makes sense. So you have to be good enough for the defense to be able to draw out to you and really draw out hard to create that space and create more opportunities for drivers and such.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
To add to your guys' point about, you know, Anthony Davis taking so many three-pointers, I feel like, you know, I can only speak on what I know, right? I mean, basketball is basketball at the end of the day. Yes, there's different, you know, clearly different high levels of basketball or whatnot. And when I played basketball, I knew, you know, if there's a big in there, or this dude that I'm guarding me just got Giannis-like type energy, to where energized bunny, I'm all over you. I'm gonna be a bruiser. Come in here, you gonna get fouled. Like, I would settle for a lot more jumpers. So like, that's probably Anthony Davis's mindset. I mean, granted, on a whole another level, because instead of him facing some dude at a JUCO level or at 24-hour fitness, he's facing Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? So totally get Anthony Davis, you know, maybe being like, maybe not tonight. But that's not the mindset that we need him to have. We need him to have that killer mindset, to where it's like, oh, that's the type of energy you got, Giannis? Okay, take this shoulder to the chest. Take this one again and take it all game, and let me see if you're going to keep getting up. But I feel like him, and that's a great point, L. Rob. I'm really happy you brought that up. Like, him taking 8 three-pointers shows you right there and then he wasn't even looking for that smoke tonight. He was like, you know what? I'll settle with this three right here. I don't got to bump with Giannis. I don't got to go body to body. And I mean, I think it's a soft, typical Anthony Davis mentality, like, realistically, unfortunately, to be honest. Because also another thing is L. Rob, you mentioned his shooting in 2020. His shooting was big in 2020, but I also, one thing I've stated so many times is, like, our roster is so much different this year than it was then, to where it's like, we could maybe space a little bit and still have a Dwight or a JaVale down there to be able to clean up the glass. But it's like, now if AD's shooting, we got Rui. It's like 6'8" cleaning up the glass, and that's just not going to work.
True. Yeah.
Absolutely. Agree with you, man. Guys wholeheartedly, man. Just a great game. Absolutely great game.
Sunday in the chat was saying AJ Green cooked him in high school. AJ Green is one of the, I was saying it in the playback stream, he's one of the sneaky players, end of the bench players, where I think he could be a real impact if he gets in the right situation. Like, Lakers could certainly use someone that's a flamethrower from three, and you know, can run around off ball. So that's someone, almost probably nobody knows his name right now, but I think AJ Green is someone that, you know, might be worth a look at for a throw in if a trade were ever to occur or something like that.
Shooter. Right. He reminds me of Sam Merle from the Cavs. Just straight comes off screens, just yak.
And Merrill's been like really important for them this season. He's turned into someone like that. So these guys on the fringes are people that should be paid attention to. Same thing with we talked about it in the stream, like the Lakers don't really have a backup center. Like Hayes and Wood are probably best as third string guys at this point in their career. That like you want maybe spot backup here and there, but you don't want them necessarily as a full 82 game season backup center. They have their deficiencies, and there's guys that are out there that can be that. Guys like Trey Jameson, who has been on the lucky part of 10 days and such like that, where it's the end of the season and you know guys are sitting, so the league's at a little bit of a weaker point you're playing, but he's still being impactful. There's a guy like Charles Bediako that's still available, undrafted free agent. There's guys out there that you can take a chance rather than keep paying these known commodities that are what they are. Like we pretty much knew what Jackson Hayes was going to be by the time he got to the Lakers, and he's been decent. Like he's been a good third string guy, I would say. Probably not someone I want playing as a full-time backup. So I'd rather take that chance on somebody who hasn't necessarily gotten that opportunity for 5-6 years beforehand and might be able to show that.
Elrob, anything to add on to that, my friend? Or
no, I mean, Stone's definitely much more knowledgeable on all these guys is on the fringes. AJ Green, I wouldn't know him if I ran into him at Sam's Club tomorrow. So
to be quite honest, I probably wouldn't either.
The first time I really saw him, and I could tell the way the Lakers played him that he's a shooter, that he's probably a good three-point shooter. He did not look like he was playing with confidence today. He passed up some open looks and dribbled into tougher shots or more difficult situations for Milwaukee. But that's to be expected if you're not getting consistent minutes. So, but no, I Jackson Hayes, I mean, we don't win Boston games. He had a good run where he played very well beginning of the season. He didn't do anything. It would be hard for anybody to play as bad as he played today. He's just that proverbial roller coaster. His court awareness just isn't there.
It's just not there.
The problem is he's a rim protector. He's a rim protector, L. Rob, that doesn't protect the rim very well.
Man.
Yeah. He's always a step that much off from getting a block shot or whatever. But I mean, he plays hard, so
he's good rolling to the basket. I'll give him that.
He's a good offensive rebounder. He works hard, so. But yeah, if we can find somebody, a little more skilled, I don't know if those guys are just out there hanging out. But yes, I'm all for it.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go, Stone. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask a question, kind of based on that. Is like, let's say we face up against the Mavericks in the play-in. How concerned are you guys about the fact that they now have Gafford and Lively, and obviously AD's not going to play 48 minutes for the entire game? If AD were to sit, like, to me, that's a real issue. Now you have Hayes on, having to defend the pick and roll. They're probably going to abuse him over and over again. Luka's a pretty smart ball handler. They're going to want to try and exploit that. And then you have, maybe you have 12 minutes of Hayes. And during that 12 minutes, that's pretty concerning if you have to go against Lively or Gafford for the entirety of that stretch. So, just kind of what's your guys' thoughts on that and how detrimental might that be if we have to face them in the play-in?
To me, that's extremely concerning. And that kind of plays into a part of something that I've been saying in the preseason, which is, you just kind of alluded to, Stone, which as far as like us, we needed to have a backup big, right? And said this over and over and over, but why were we so damn dominant in 2020? We had two amazing backup bigs that just gave us an amazing back line of defense that just a lot of times when our guard got blown by, like, they just wouldn't foul and would just be like, all right, you're going to have to get over Dwight. You're going to have to get over JaVale or AD. And then we end up, you know, getting away from that. And then the Mavs, they have a phenomenal trade deadline and they bring in Gafford to just run pick and rolls straight with Kyrie and Luka. And that's it fits exactly their mold on top of Lively. Now, to answer your question, to me, the reason why it would be concerning is because we would get exploited in the non-AD minutes. But I feel like this is when a simple adjustment, and I know, Gerald, every time I say it, you always knock me for it, but I'm going to keep staying on it. But a simple thing of like bringing in a Dwight Howard, bringing in a DeMarcus Cousins, just a big body, okay? Because like, look, like...
Well, there are big bodies. I'll give you that.
Yeah, look, Gafford... he may have his way with a Dwight. He may have his way with a DeMarcus Cousins because, you know, he's a little bit more seasoned player in this league. He knows how to do a little bit more out of that short role. But Lively is such a raw, young, just talent who's just honestly, I mean, low-key the same build as Hayes. Just one of those, like, long, lengthy, skinny guys. He's a little bit stronger than Hayes, but also a lot better than Hayes. But what I'm saying is, like, he's just so young that if you were to throw in a Dwight, throw in a DeMarcus Cousins, a real NBA vet who has, you know, experience in this league and who just rough him up, just rough it up. He's 19. Derek Lively is like 19, 20 years old. You mean to tell me an NBA vet like DeMarcus Cousins, who just strikes intimidation into his players, or Dwight Howard, who's seen it all? I mean, you can go back to Dwight Howard back in the day. The man's literally seen it all. And he could absolutely stick a couple of elbows in Lively, stick just – and I think that right there could make – would make the world of a difference in a series like that. But nonetheless, Stone, to answer your question, would not want to face them. Would not want to face them at all.
I'll have the chocolate milk for the nightcap tonight. Joe Soro is going to have a nightcap tonight, 11 p.m. He's coming back from Orange County right now, so he is en route. But great victory. You know what? If the Lakers would not have won tonight, you know, Joe, you want to do a nightcap? No. So, yes, he will do the nightcap tonight at 11 because, of course, great Lakers victory. But, yeah, John, big shout out to you. Big shout out to Stone, L. Rob. Great to have you back, my friend. I loved it when you reached out to me the other day and said you're going to be on our shows here because they're on the East Coast. Joe, great to have you guys back. I love it when it's like this, man. We get so much great participation. Laker Nick doing the polls out there on playback.tv. It makes it for a greater experience, you guys. You guys, just big hats off to each and every one of you guys for all the stuff you did tonight, John.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
L-Rob, man, it's great. It is great to L-Rob, I've heard a lot about you, brother, so it is great to, you know what I'm saying, be on the stream together.
Lakers legend.
I don't know about that, but thank you. I always enjoy
the only guy that Laker Tom likes.
Well, me and Laker Tom, we both tend to be a little more optimistic and thinking the Lakers are going to do a little bit better.
That's why he likes you. Probably
should. So, but yeah, no, I always enjoy listening to you, John, as well as Stone, when you guys are on. I will want to say one thing real quick. Regarding what Stone just said, I agree. I mean, I was not happy with Washington giving Gafford up to Dallas, but kudos to them to making the move. And absolutely, that makes them a whole different team, and they're going to be dangerous. And we have no answer because, you know, playing that pick and roll defense, they're going to eat us up. And Jackson Hayes will look, you know, pretty bad. And I do think one of my things that I really don't like is the way Dwight Howard was treated at the end of his career. I absolutely think he could have still contributed. I don't know if he can now, but I think he, you know, for whatever reason, people didn't like him. He still had, you know, he still had some game left to play 10, 12 minutes, 15 minutes, like a lot of guys do when no team would sign him. So that was, you know, kind of sad to see a great, great player like Dwight go out the way he did. Boogie, I think it was time for him. So
he's in Taiwan now. So
Dwight is.
No, Boogie signed with Taiwan.
Dwight was
there in Asia too, right? Yeah. For a while.
Shooting, he was in Taiwan last year.
Shooting threes and doing all that stuff.
Doing thought he was in Puerto Rico.
Thought he was a guard. DeMarcus Cousins was in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
All right. I know we're
going all over.
I know we're about to wrap up, but I have one final question for you guys, and you could just be as quick as you want. But let's say we were to get into the 8 seed. We could finish out really strong this season. Who of the three of the Kings, Mavericks, and Suns would you most want to face in a play-in situation?
Well, that ties into what I was going to ask, because I think with the tiebreakers to Dallas and Sacramento, I don't think we have a chance to get into the eighth. I think the seventh and sixth. So eighth is a possibility, because Phoenix has the hardest schedule in the NBA for the rest of the season. So that's the possible likelihood. I would say Dallas for me is the toughest matchup, I think, of any of those teams.
But who would you want to face the most?
Okay, then I'd probably say Sacramento. I'm gonna still say Sacramento. I know our record sucks against them. I know Sabonis has like, oh, I have the AD. Here's my AD. I beat you every time card that I keep on signing every single game. But I still say Sacramento versus the Lakers, because Sacramento, they're just not experienced enough in those big games. They've only had one short, brief run in the playoffs against Golden State. And I really think if there's any team that matches up with the Lakers experience-wise, that the Lakers should be able to handle, it would be them.
I'm in agreement with you, Gerald, because of what you said, but also because of, like, we would just get exploited so much by the pick and roll that Kyrie and Luka, they honestly spam it. Like, if you watch the Mavs, they run it literally every single time down court, whether it be with Lively or Gafford. So we get spammed out with that. And the Suns, like, honestly, guys, the Suns are in the eighth seed. I'm not trying to see the Suns in the playoffs in a one game setting type thing. Like, they have
Durant Booker.
They have Durant. There you go. Like, they have Durant Booker. Like, Durant, Kevin Durant. I always say this, guys. Like, you guys know LeBron James is my GOAT. But if I had to pick one player, they said, John, like, your life is on the line. You got to pick somebody to go get a bucket. I'm taking Kevin Durant 10 times out of 10. And that's what playoffs comes down to, is about just getting a bucket. It's about, like, it's not as so much about, you know, threes over twos. It's more about making sure every single time down court you convert. You cannot let no possessions go down court where you have an empty possession. And it's very hard to believe that Kevin Durant and Booker are going to let too many empty possessions go down and drain. It's either going to be a midi, or it's going to be a foul, or worse comes worse, it'll be a three. So with all that being said, even though we don't line up very well with the Kings, I feel like it's just like, it's process of elimination. Honestly, that's the way I did that equation, to be real.
Yeah, I would, the least, I'm with Gerald. I would not want to play Dallas. That they are the toughest team, I would think, right now. And you got Kyrie, who can make shots, and Luka is Luka. No, thank you. I'll pass on that. If I had a choice, I'd probably want to play Phoenix. So I do not want to see De'Aaron Fox again. Abusing D'Lo, or abusing Reeves, or abusing whoever we put in there, and Monk always raises his level against us too. Kyle Bell's ringing in Sacramento one game. No, give me Phoenix. I'll play some older guys, slower guys. I think we match up a little bit better with Phoenix. But having said that, if we do get into the AFC, it's going to be because we pass Phoenix. So.
Yeah,
it looks like if we do, it'll be either and I think Dallas may be they're blowing out the Kings tonight, so I think they may be passing them for the sixth seed.
But we don't own the tiebreaker on the Kings, so
yeah,
we're still we'd have to win like four times, because we're three back in the loss column.
No, but we're not gonna pass the Kings, but I'm saying Dallas can pass the Kings.
Yeah, Dallas. Kings, they're playing they're playing Tuesday and Friday, so okay. I mean, so they're playing Friday. It's a baseball series, so they are playing, I think, Friday also in Sacramento. Okay.
Really, yeah, so basically, one of those two are going to be in seven, probably.
Yeah.
If we take it. So
it's a tough, like, we're going out of the pan and into the fire with this ending of the season. Like, we're just doing enough just to make the play in, and then once we make the play in, we have to win the play in, maybe two play in games, but hopefully one. All that just to play the Nuggets, which is our kryptonite, it seems. So
if we get in the 7-8, then we wouldn't be playing the Nuggets. We'd be playing the 2-seed.
And that's what I like.
Yeah.
And that's what I like, El Rob.
If we, yeah.
That would line up pretty good if it's OKC.
Very well.
OKC.
Very well.
I'd rather play the Wolves than OKC. I've been pretty vocal about this, but I'd rather play either than Denver.
Play quite literally anybody.
I don't think I've heard any Lakers fans say they want to play Denver right away. Yeah.
You got to be a psychopath, or you're not a Lakers fan, one of the two.
But it's still bunched up. I mean, New Orleans is not, I mean, they're only a game up in a loss column on the Kings and Dallas. So who knows? They may slide down.
We're not going to. I don't think we're going to know matchups really until the final night of the regular season. I think it's going to come down to, for a lot of teams, the final night to see where ultimately everybody ends up settling.
Sean says he wants the toenail clippers. Clippers have been really bad
Really bad. Crazy stat on that, just because they're the little brothers of the Lakers. And I was doing some research. In the last 10 games, they've been averaging 108 points per game. The Spurs average 113. So they've just been like below average. But typical Clippers around this time.
Well, they're playing 6-on-4 because you have James Harden defending his own guys. If you saw that one last week.
That was
no, I missed that.
El Rob literally passed the ball to Kawhi and then ran out and like genuinely closed out and like jumped and made an effort. I already know
that. While he was on offense.
I saw that. That was crazy. I've never seen, I probably have at some point, but a player defending his own teammate from three is incredible.
It's got to be Harden.
Funny stuff.
All right, my friend. I think that does it. Did a great job, John. And thank you again to Stone and L. Rob, and also as well Laker Nick. And I heard just told me now Henry Hill from Courtside Lakers came in on the very end. He said he did a Hollywood Hulk Hogan last second before the show goes off the air type deal. So congrats. Yeah, thank you to him as well. And Joe Soros said he'll be on tonight doing the nightcap. I said I'll join him. I'll bring my chocolate milk there. I promised you if the Lakers win, I would chug some chocolate milk. I will do so tonight on the nightcap.
Is it the powder Nesquik or which one is it?
No, I'm going to go out to the store and get the real thing. That Nesquik. I think was okay as a kid, but yeah, I can't handle it. I go for the stuff like right out of the fridge right there at the store. I was going to do it tonight, but I was in such a hurry to get home.
Gerald did say on the playback, which obviously you should start listening on the playback so you can hear these things, but Gerald did say that he'll spike his chocolate milk for $1,000. So,
yeah.
Because
Darren was gracious enough to give us a super chat for $20, and he said, get a drink. And I said, I won't. And tonight they said, well, what's your price? And I said, well, I said, $1,000. I'll go ahead and have a shot for $1,000. But
come on, Darren. You know the price tag.
But you guys are crazy. The way you guys get Joe is going to be dead from the liver. The way you guys are terrible. They just keep feeding him money. Do this, Joe. Do that. 10 shots in 10 seconds. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And he'll do it. So I will tell him to get the top shelf stuff for tonight. I don't know what he'll bring, but yeah, I'll tell him to get something for you guys. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, El Rob, Stone, I know you guys are Midwest and East Coast guys, and you're on a different time zone. I just absolutely appreciate you stopping by, and I'd always welcome stopping by. Stone, you with me tomorrow on the playback for Memphis?
I will be. Thankfully, these Laker games are not starting, at midnight or whatever.
But they're ending pretty late.
Yeah, so... I'll be able to make more playback games and hopefully be on more post games as the season comes to an end.
Awesome. And L Rob, anytime, man. Anytime you got, just you tell me when, and we'll send you the link, man. Anytime.
Thank you. I'll be around.
How's Michigan State, my friend?
Was not pretty against against UNC, but you know what, they, you know, struggled all season and ended up, if they would probably would have played any other, if they would have been playing a three seed, they probably would have won. But because you underachieved all season, you had to, you get in the 8-9 slot and you're paying a number one seed. So you get what you, you know, you earned that position. So what disappointing season overall, disappointing season overall.
I wonder what the Spartans felt like tonight, seeing Draymond Green literally just like, you know, I don't know.
Manhandling, who was he?
Patty Mills. He upset the entire country of Australia tonight. So.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
I think he just hates any non-American at this point. He doesn't like Nurkic. He doesn't like Gobert. Apparently, Patty Mills. I don't know. He seems to not like the
foreigners. He's patriotic, man. He's fighting for his country.
He better hold it down. He better be worried about Houston because they're coming for him.
Man, they coming. What they on, like a 9-game winning streak right now?
Yep.
That's crazy. I'd rather,
if we have to stay in a 9 seed, I'd rather face Houston than the Warriors. So.
What? Every day of the week?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, John, send us home, my friend. You did a great job, as always.
All right. Well, everybody, appreciate you.
The hard
guys.
Pitch. You got to give everybody the hard pitch where you're at.
Oh, absolutely. All right, cool. Yeah, if anybody wants to come check me out, man, I do have two channels. One of my channels is Clutch Talk. As you guys see, it's an NBA talk show. I'm on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I drop two episodes per week, bringing you one recap episode and then other little, you know, more focused episode during the week. And then also got another channel. It's called Lakers Corner. That's just on YouTube, bringing you all type of Lakers content, man. But as always, Gerald, I appreciate the opportunity to hang out with these cool guys right here, man. L. Rob and my guy Stone.
Absolutely. Just thank you guys, man. You guys were tremendous. And I'm just glad to be here and honored to be part of it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, L. Rob, Stone, you guys got any last words to say?
Go Lakers.
Go Lakers. Everybody. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Lakers Fast Break family. Hit that subscribe button and stay tuned for the nightcap with Joe Sora at 11 p.m. Pacific. And we'll be back tomorrow, guys. Peace.